and gentlemen, to KingScottRadioTV.com. You can reach us at the station at 240-362-7552. We are located here in the beautiful mountains in Cumberland, Maryland. Welcome to At My Father's Table. I am Pastor Carrie Scott, and I'm here with the pastor of At My Father's Table, Kevin T. Scott.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. I appreciate that warm introduction. Before we get started with this Bible study today, we want to give a quick shout out to just a few special people. Yesterday, we attended a cookout, and I had an opportunity to meet some of Pastor Scott's good friends. Their names are Nate, Darlene, and Art. Now, I want to take a moment and give a special shout out to Art. Art is a 87-year-old gentleman, and I do mean gentleman. And this guy, he raced cars at 87 years old. We think that it's a Guinness Book of World Records appointment that we're going to try to encourage so the world will know that an African-American man at 87 years old is still racing automobiles.
Yes, how about that? He is an awesome man, and I know him from my good friends Nate and Darlene, who have invited me as an adopted family member to their family cookouts and things yearly. And when I meet this gentleman, if you ever met him, you would not think he was a day over 60. He does amazing things, and he is a wonderful, wonderful man. And I'm thankful to know him.
The funny thing, and I don't mean funny in the sense of funny, he resides on a 27-acre, I would say palace. What would you call it, Pastor Scott?
Property.
I think it's a palace because it is so gorgeous. It's equipped with a swimming pool. A big barn that we had this wonderful event in. And he's also a car lover. And he had some vehicles, vintage vehicles there that he maintains himself. Now, when I mentioned the 25 acres, this 87-year-old gentleman still mows his lawn. And I am simply amazed. I couldn't mow personally a half an acre. And he's doing 25. And when I say gorgeous, it is absolutely gorgeous. So we plan to have him on a broadcast soon. We were able to take some good photographs of him actually in his gear and with the car that he races. And I think you all are going to be wonderfully surprised that God can do anything. So, without further ado, today we're going to talk about
friendships.
Wow, that's going to be a good topic for our Bible study listeners.
Today, when we think about the meaning of friendships, when it is really related to us in the New Testament, we want to talk today about how we can have that shed some light on our friendships and experiences today.
Now, to piggyback off of that, Pastor Scott, we're talking about healthy friendships from a biblical perspective and unhealthy friendships from a perspective of sometimes some people don't need to be involved with your life because it confuses things. What would you want to share about healthy friendships in reference to the Bible?
In reference to the Bible, yeah, it's definitely a difference between relating it from a biblical standpoint versus a worldly trend, So when we think about friendships, they can contribute, as we know, those of you who have friendships, they can contribute to a happy and a successful life, because we know that good friends can bring out the best in us, as we can bring out the best in a friend. and we can enhance one another's strengths. And it talks about this in the book of Proverbs. However, the Bible also stresses the importance of choosing one's friends carefully, because there are consequences of having the wrong kinds of friends, which can cause us to make foolish decisions and erode some great qualities.
So someone would suggest to you, Pastor Scott, let's go and rob a bank. I've been your friend for years. I got your back.
Yeah, those types of things, you know, and that's one just, you know, kind of out there example. But we know that there can be so many ways that a friend who should not be in your life can influence you to go take a cigarette when you know that it's not good for your health, to go and to be involved in some type of relationship with someone to do something that your morals are saying you shouldn't do, but they're telling you it's okay to do that. That God will forgive you. Yes, He is a forgiving God, but that's not something you should do.
That is so true, Pastor Scott, because unfortunately people get caught up in the wrong terms and the wrong things. And we're going to be using terms that you hear in everyday street language, because we want to keep our Bible studies real, what you hear, so you can be familiar with key words. So I will be using a little slang, nothing detrimental, but just so that we can know what we're talking about and how it approaches you as it has approached all of us in some form or fashions. So one of the things I would like to ask you, Pastor Scott, is that can you give us a practical experience where you were getting involved with something, or you noticed something in a friendship that you didn't like and you had to think about it as to whether you wanted to pursue that? Just a real picture of something you've been through personally.
Well, I can definitely remember some things. One thing that stands out in my mind, which I believe helped to make me into being who I am even today, was when I was in middle school. We called it junior high school back then, but when I was in elementary school, probably sixth grade, when girls are starting to discover themselves, think they're cute and popular this way with the boys or with the other girls or whatever. And so I was very popular. And I remember that there was a young lady who came to the school who was not so popular. She was a little bit different from us. You could tell that maybe she came from a different environment and was coming into our school system. And so the girls were all making fun of her and saying this and saying that. And I knew better, but I started to do the same thing, saying things to her, just making her feel uncomfortable. And it just struck me that that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. That's not what I've been taught. I know better. Why am I doing that? And I could see the look on this girl's face, and I thought, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be the cause of that look on her face. So I had to recognize and realize that even though I was popular and I was trying to fit in with the crowd and they were doing things like that, that I didn't do it. So that kind of stayed with me, that even today, if I see someone, Pastor Kevin, that seems to be the underdog, the person that's less favorable, I try to be close to them, recognize them, say something to them, make them feel special. So that just taught me a lesson from way back when, and that's what I still try to do today.
You know, even in our ministries, it's noted that you notice people who actually attend services, and they're just a little bit on the outside. And I've seen you personally go out and greet and touch and talk. And that's important because you want people to feel welcome. You want to put a stigma on, hey, we're here to love you and not hurt you. And this is in everyday life. This is in every church. And I know what I'm getting ready to say resonates, because some churches have cliques, little groups in them. And those, it's not so much that they don't want people in. They just have a flavor of, well, you know, do you meet our standards? And it's not about that. That's not what Christianity is about. So these friendships that we're talking about is pertinent because there's enough room at the table for everyone to fit in. If you're not a good singer, maybe you're a good usher. If you're not a good usher, maybe you can work in the office. There's some talent that you have that the church can use for the glorification of God. And that's what this Bible study is about. How are we to be good friends to one another? How do we represent Christ in our attitudes? Not to say that we're going to be perfect at it, but we certainly have to be aware of it.
Absolutely. And I think that is really important. Something that you said, Pastor Kevin, earlier, your dialogue, you were saying that in the church, in some churches or in the churches, there are cliques. I think in all churches, there are cliques. In all parts of society, there are cliques. Just because I don't always like the word clique, but I understand what people mean when they say that. It's as though when someone new comes around, the other people have already formulated a bond or a relationship, and this new person or persons are coming in and trying to fit into that. And so sometimes if they don't feel like they can fit into it, they will call it a clique because that's a negative connotation and that's how they see it. But that's not necessarily all the time and what it is. And so I tend to try to stay away from that, but then recognizing that maybe I need to recognize being a leader in the church, recognize and look at maybe some things that people are doing to make someone feel not included. And that's what I'll try to look at.
So in the Bible, and I'm reading from the New Century Version of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, the Bible recognized that human beings are social creatures who need one another. God said in Genesis 2:18, it's not good for man to be alone. And for that, you know, it says man, but it means man and women. I'm giving you a practical interpretation of the word. It means man and woman because we both have to habitate with one another. And it says it's good. So it's okay to let your guard down to be a friend. Now you get down the road a little bit and you see someone who is indifferent of your ways or things that are not good for your lifestyle, then you can make other decisions. But start out certainly on the positive side.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I love that. And so, you know, the Bible teaches us that we are to be kind one to another and we are to love people just because they're human beings. And so that means trying to befriend them. And not that everybody's going to be your closest friend, but we can all have the qualities of friendship, and that is by showing love and kindness and just compassion and concern. And that's what we're commanded to do. One great example of friendship in the Bible, when we think back to the story of Jonathan and David, Jonathan was one who was an avid conqueror. He had won many battles, fought many battles, and had won many battles. And then we see in the story of David and Goliath, that famous story that we know so much about where David killed Goliath. And Jonathan could have been very jealous of him or been upset with him because now, instead of him continuing to get all of the attention on him and people glorifying him, here it was David, measly little David, who eventually was going to be king, but he was getting all of the accolades. And what did Jonathan do? He started to just be excited for what David had done and gave him praise and helped him, gave him things that were going to help him. And so that's an example to us today. Is that many times we all have gifts and talents, not many times, but we all have gifts and talents. But sometimes someone's gift or talent may be risen to the top in a particular moment or time. And we cannot be jealous about that, but we have to, you know, give them the accolades that are due them. Praise them for that and not be jealous.
Oh, Pastor Scott, you have tipped the cup over. Now, you know, in our atmospheres, they call that hating. If so-and-so can sing or someone can preach really well, they'll say things like, oh, this person preaches better than you do. Is that the comparison, or is it the glorification of God's word going forward? That story resonates within all of us, because all of us can be guilty of that in our flesh. The flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. And saying that simply means that if you see someone who has gifts and talents, that could give you an opportunity to polish your own talents. That maybe you can do something if you're looking for that type of attention, not that you are seeking it, but if you're looking for that, that can make you better by thriving off of what you've seen someone else do. And that's a lesson in life. I can remember when I played sports, and I wasn't such a great basketball player, but I decided that I wanted to get up 5 o'clock in the morning and go out and shoot hoops so that I could better myself. So when I came back out on the court, they noticed a difference. And that's exactly what happened. But it needed commitment. It needed something from me. And just like your gifts and talents, is going to need something from you.
Absolutely. And I think this is such a lesson from this story about Jonathan and David for us to take note of. Because, yes, like you said, Pastor Kevin, we can get in the flesh and be jealous of someone, someone's abilities. And we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to support them and praise the gift in them. And when we support them, we'll recognize or realize that we can learn something from them. And if they support us, or even if they don't, because it's not a tit for tat. Just because someone doesn't support me doesn't mean I'm not going to support them. But prayerfully, if it's a true friendship and a bonding, the person will want to support you as you support them.
Now, oftentimes we're always in support of the children when they get up there. And you know they don't sound so good sometimes, but we praise them anyway. Well, I have news for you. Adults need the same thing. We need to be able to go up to someone and say, you know what? We see you up there trying your best. Because that ego part of us, because we're in the flesh, needs feeding. And we are supposed to love one another as I have loved you. And, you know, when Christ looks at us and he sees that you need a little propping up on a leaning side, well, we can learn to do that for each other in our church environment. And look how different the world would be if we all decided to do that. It would conquer racist attitudes. It would conquer attitudes, female and male. And as we raise our children, we can impart that into them so that it could ultimately make the world a better place.
Absolutely. And I love what you said, Pastor Kevin, that we are to encourage and give accolades where they are due. And sometimes it's not that the person has done the best job, but if they've done their best, you want to encourage that they've done their best. And then, on the other hand, friends need to be able to be honest with each other, tell the truth. I want my friends to tell me the truth. Maybe you're not the best singer or best basketball player or preacher or artist or whatever it may be. And in love, they can say, you know what, I've seen this that you do over here, which may be, you know, that you're more gifted in. And you can recognize and realize that that's your gift more so than this one over here. One thing I just want the audience to know today is that God has gifted each of us with something that's unique and special to us. We're not supposed to do things because the other person is doing it and we feel like we're supposed to do it in competition or because that person is doing it. No, look and find out what gift you are supposed to walk in. And friends, if you need to tell your friends, now that's not good for you. That's not great. You're not shining in that. Then if God leads you to say that, you need to say that. It's hurtful, but at the same time, it will give us some strength in areas.
I remember Pastor Scott that I got up there and tried to sing. And they didn't laugh at me like I'm laughing now. But I think one of the brothers came and said, you know, back then I was known as Brother Scott. And they said, you know, that's not exactly your calling.
Yeah.
And I understood that I was an excellent background singer. I could fill in with noise, not necessarily harmonizing, but just using the words. And I received it. But what I was good at was church organization. I understood it. I knew how to do certain things. And when I got more involved with that, I was selected to do certain things. And that made me feel warm and fuzzy and good. But I had to have that lesson that I'm not the person that should be holding the mic leading the song.
Absolutely. And we have to learn that. You know, get out of the wrong lane and get in the right lane. Is that your lane? And so we have to recognize and realize that. You know, I've seen some times when some people have just been puffed up in something that was really false. And they didn't have the knowledge, the experience to know that that was something that somebody puffed up in them. That wasn't what they were called to do. So again, you know, we need to speak truth and honesty in the Lord to people, and we need to receive what it is God is wanting us to receive from that. And that's why I say we're talking today about friendships, Pastor Kevin, and so we need to know that friendship is important to the people of faith, that if we choose our friends wisely and they can become, as we are becoming, supportive, loyal friends, and we can strengthen our faith during the unloving times, that we may have to tell somebody that or find out that this is not something that we need to be walking in. That's not our lane.
Well, Pastor Scott, we're going to give out our information again. This is KingScottRadioTV.com. And our phone number here is 240-362-7552. You can reach us on the World Wide Web. Anytime you want to hear a good word, you can tune right into this station. We have some improvements that we're working on. We actually are opening up our new television station here at KingScottRadioTV.com. And that is going to be a whole nother experience that we're able to impart out into the community with love, understanding, and peace of mind. Ownership is a great thing. God bless the child that has his own, and we have definitely been blessed by that. Now, particularly, Pastor, I would like to just talk about some of the people that we encounter as our friends, because we also have to point out that your friends also have to be supportive of you. Now, what exactly do I mean? You can't ask me to come to your events and you don't participate in mine. That's not a friendship. That's more of a dictatorship. As long as you're doing what I need you to do to help me, I'm fine. And you find businesses that act that way. You can come and spend your money with us, but we can't come and spend our money with you. We don't want those kinds of friendships. And sometimes they are unknown to us. You don't recognize it for what it is. If I am interested in the things that you're doing and I share my time and my effort and my resources with you, why can't I get the same thing?
Well, it should be like that. In a great or perfect world, yes, that would be the case, Pastor Scott. And yes, we are to have high expectations as the Lord gives us the expectations in Christ of how we are to receive and how we are to give of ourselves. But people do fall short, and unfortunately that's the way of the world sometimes. So what I would say to that, to anyone who has experienced that and will experience that, I've experienced it, is that one good friend of mine told me that make sure that everything you do is there and being done for the glory of God. You are, and that means that you are doing it from the heart, the true place in the heart. Because when you do that and you recognize that it is God who's leading you to do that, it'll make it not so hard to dissolve when someone doesn't do the same thing from you. When someone slights you, even though you have favor, given favor to them. So you have to do it unto God. Do it from a very place in your heart that is just so humble.
That's going to be our subject for another Bible study, because my philosophy, and not that my philosophy is better than anyone else's, it says that fair exchange is no robbery. And I think that we have to get better at that. Recognize, hey, sister girl came to support me. Brother man came to the game to see my kids play. And now their kids are at an event. And I'm going to give of my time and my effort to do that. So that's not something that we're going to get into right at this moment. But again, fair exchange is no robbery. I think that doing it to the glory of God is certainly the best possible way to get things done, because God is very accurate. But at the same time, we have to be supportive of one another. That way the world is balanced. You don't feel slighted or envious or any of those kind of words. We want to just make sure that we are doing the right thing unto God, which is what he teaches us. So we're gonna close this particular segment out with a little music from Ben Tankard. We have enjoyed this. We try to keep our Bible studies within a certain time limit, because we know that people don't have all day to listen to a long dialogue of this, that, or the other. What we try to do is to give you the world a short synopsis of what we're doing, how we're trying to edify God in Jesus. And that's the point that we want to make.
Pastor Carrie Scott and Pastor Kevin Scott, we have just been fellowshipping with you and talking about friendships. More is to come, but I just want to leave you with this, that when you have friendships that are based in the faith of Christ, and we have that deep love that comes from Christ, our relationships and our friendships are going to be valuable, and they're going to grow. This is KingScottRadioTV.com. Thank you for being with us today.